Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ray Hulley talking about Olympic innovator John Hulley at MMU's Institute for Performance Research Symposium on Sporting Lives, held on December the 4th, 2010.
This afternoon I'm going to tell you about a forgotten man of the mid-19th century who was, in his time, a visionary and dedicated disciple of the then-unknown Olympic movement, the British Olympic movement. John Hulley of Liverpool organised several Olympic festivals and set up the first National Olympic Association in 1865. I will outline his revolutionary ideas in the physical education sphere and his unique organisational abilities in establishing the Olympic ideal in this country. By the end of my talk, I hope that you will have a general awareness of his legacy and the vital part that he played in the development of physical education in this country and the establishment of a firm basis for the modern Olympic Games, both of which now embrace the world. I'm a family historian with a special interest in the Hulley surname. John Hulley is not a direct relation to me, but nevertheless, I look forward to the 2012 Games, and I will be particularly interested because I discovered him and his Olympic connection during my researches of the past 4 or 5 years. This on the screen is the only picture of him. But in November 2006, I came across a reference to him in the Journal of Olympic History. This article had been written by Don Anthony, who's a previous, you might have heard of him, a previous Olympic athlete. And the mystery was that because he'd been the forgotten man of British Olympic history, and all trace of him after 1868 had been lost. As a historian, never shirking a challenge of this nature, I decided to follow up this lead to try to solve the mystery. Now, Don's article had shown a few facts about him. He was born in Liverpool, 1832. He was taught by Louis Huguenin, who was an ex-Swiss athlete, appointed the first director of the Liverpool Gymnasium in 1865. And he joined with Brooks and Ravenstein formed the National Olympian Association in 1865, and in fact, John Hulley was the chairman of that body, and the first meeting was held at his gym in Liverpool in 1865, so he played a vital part in it, and he died in 1875. This was the main information made available to me by Don's article, and there was many questions left unanswered, so I set about tracking down his ancestors. There he is at the bottom, 32 to 75. He called himself a gymnasiarch, self-styled. That's his father's generation and his uncles. You notice the medical connection. His grandfather was also in the medical profession, as was his great-grandfather. And his great-great-grandfather lived in Mattlesfield. And in fact, I've taken this line right back to 1480. So he's a well-founded family. But I haven't shown you this on the screen because it's a bit, time is pressing. This is his entry in the 1841 census, and you can see he's living at home with his mum and aunties, in Gloucester Street in Liverpool. That's the College Institute, sorry, the Collegiate Institute in Liverpool, where he was studied until 1850. And the 1851 census records him living with an uncle, Hugh Speed, at his farm in Highton, Buckhouse Farm. And Hugh was a, as it says on there, wholesale butcher and farmer of 134 acres. So they had quite a good background there. The 1861 census, again, he was at another uncle's farm, this time Woolfold Hall. I don't know whether it's the same farm with a name change, but certainly it's again on a farm. And in April 1861, John organised a physical display called the Assault at Arms. And this was held at the Theatre Royal Liverpool. And this incorporated a demonstration by members of the Liverpool Athletic Club of all kinds of gymnastic equipment. So this was his first step into the public arena, as it were. He also delivered a lecture at the same venue in December of that year, in which he stressed the need for physical as well as mental excellence. This one here is Bold Street, Liverpool, and that's the first location of the Liverpool Athletic Club in the Rotunda Gymnasium, as it was then called. The Rotunda Gymnasium was established by a partnership between John Hulley, who looked after the gymnasium side of the business, and Samuel Ackersley, who raised the capital for a mortgage deposit on the premises. It was clearly understood between the both of them that Hulley's practical experience was to be considered as of equal importance to that of Ackerley's capital. Ackerley was to look out for premises, and both took steps to acquire the Rotunda in joint names. The actual purchase, however, was made in Mr. Ackerley's name, but with a clear understanding that if in future the property was sold, the profits should be equally divided between them. And the Liverpool Athletics Club motto, Mens sana in corpo sano, you've probably heard this before, actually. There it goes, fine away. And that's what it means in English, a healthy mind and a healthy body. The president of the LEC was Charles Pierre Melly. Now, Charles Pierre Melly was the great-grandfather of the late George Melly, a musician, entertainer, etc., and Andre Melly, the film actress. Charles was a Liverpool philanthropist, born in 1829, and he was famous for providing 43 public drinking fountains around Liverpool in the mid-19th century, as well as being instrumental in the founding of the gymnasium. These were the first two Olympic festivals which John Hulley organised. And you can see the quotes from the newspapers of the day. He had quite a good press write-up. And in fact, they were on a much larger scale than the previous ones held at Muchwenlock by the Muchwenlock Olympic Society. There's over 15,000 people attended these. So it wasn't like a parochial event like in Muchwenlock, it was more of a national event. And they're very successful. The next piece of evidence about John was a newspaper announcement by our friend Mr. Samuel Ackerley about the Rotunda Gymnasium. And this is what his partner decreed in December 1863. This came as a complete surprise to John Hulley, who explained his side of the case very clearly and in great detail in the local newspapers. In fact, his partner just simply reneged on the partnership, reneged on the agreement, and just dissolved the partnership, just like that. But however, within 3 months, a new company had been formed with Charles Melly, the prime mover. The mayor was the president, so they had some good people on it. And as the Mercury said, Mr. Hulley, second to no man in Europe as a practical and a thoroughly skilled gymnastic preceptor as the manager. And this is what he said. The Athletic Society of Britain also paid tribute to John's efforts. The gymnasium was situated in Myrtle Street, opposite the Philharmonic Hall, and the inside was kitted out with all the latest gymnastic equipment. And it was opened on the 6th of November 1865 by Lord Derby. John had organised 2 Olympic festivals in Llandudno in the same year. And in fact, he's a bit of a showman in many respects, because he organised a display of illuminated boats, which were all lit up, and it was a great success. And again, the following year, again a regatta. And the following year, he appeared at the National Olympic Festival dressed in a Turkish costume, because he wanted to represent the east of the world, the eastern countries of the world. He regarded that the Olympic ideal should be spread throughout the world, and so he arrived at this thing in a rather remote posh costume of dressed as a Turk. And you can see it started to become international in many cases. Again in Liverpool, 1867. It was a very successful Olympic festival, and lots of competitors were there. He wrote a book, co-written by Mr. Ravenstein of the German Gymnasium in London. And in fact, there's more praise came for the work of John Hulley, this time from an American, who said Liverpool had the best gymnasium in the world. If you can read it. Mr. Hulley, the gymnasiarch, will no doubt be as much pleased as his pupils with the words of Mr. Avon C. Burnham, the proprietor of a gymnasium in Brooklyn. Now, this next one is a good example of John Hulley's vision and foresight. The Lesopede. He actually introduced that to Liverpool. He was the first to use the newfangled invention in Liverpool, and he set up the Liverpool Bicycle Club at his gymnasium, and he organised training for cyclists, and also a bicycle tournament where they had tilting, and just a bit like the old-fashioned knights of old. And a local newspaper reported, Paris has been bicycle mad for some time. London is getting into that condition of enthusiasm, which is not far from bicycle madness, and Liverpool is now heavily bitten with the bicycle mania. So all this was due to John Hulley and his Liverpool gymnasium. And I wonder how many of the thousands of Liverpool cyclists these days actually know of the John Hulley connection. Now then, and now for something completely different. That is the location of a wedding that wasn't, or rather, it was, but after a day's delay. Here we have the date, the groom, and the bride. And Georgiana was a daughter of a Liverpool merchant, shipping merchant. The bride's parents objected to her choice of husband, probably because he was not in the same social class, and they prevented her marriage by the simple expediency of locking her in her bedroom. Anyway, she managed to escape with the help of two friends, and they got married the following day in the same location. The events were widely reported in the national press for several weeks afterwards, so it's quite a story. In 1871, again the census return, John is this time at his own house with his wife Georgiana and their daughter Elizabeth. He'd disappeared from the limelight in many respects by this time, and he'd been succeeded as proprietor of the gymnasium by Philip Shrapnel in September 1870. And for some time previous to his death in 1875, he'd suffered with a chest infection, and he usually spent the winter on the continent, usually the south of France. But in the winter of 1874-5, he decided that he could risk staying at Liverpool, but in fact, it was a very severe winter, and he succumbed to the weather, and it proved fatal. And in fact, that's his death notice in the Liverpool Mercury. So he died at the fairly young age of 42, unfortunately. And this final tribute, which I dug out, was written 13 years after his death. Oh, there's the cause of death, by the way. Emphysema of the lungs and bronchitis. I'm sorry to be so morbid, but this is all part of a historian's work. And in fact, this is the tribute in 1888. We may never see his like again. Now, the last part of my talk brings us up to date with my researches, and in fact with the events leading from them, so we're looking ahead this time. My first task at this stage was to locate his grave. I knew he hadn't been buried at sea, so I didn't bother looking in West Liverpool, so I looked in East Liverpool. And in fact, I found his grave in Smithdown Road Cemetery. And this is the general view of the cemetery. It's a public cemetery, and there's nonconformist areas and there's Church of England areas. The headstone, and the headstone's top right, if you can see the headstone laid down, this has been removed from the main covering stone, and the grave was in very bad condition from 130 years of atmospheric pollution. And in fact, the Home Office issued a circular to all local authorities in about 2002, saying that they had to inspect graves for their safety, because there's a young child had been killed in a Yorkshire cemetery or graveyard when a gravestone fell on them. So the local authorities were ordered to do this inspection. And in fact, this is as a result of that, most probably. So there we have the grave there. Very, very bad indeed in condition. And I contacted Don Anthony, and who, with Ray Physick, and Ray Physick's a Liverpool sports writer, you might have heard of him, both agreed to join me in setting up the John Hulley Memorial Fund to raise funds for its renovation. This took several months, but thanks to generous donations from the IOC and the BOA, and members of the public, sufficient funds were raised to engage a stonemason. And I asked the stonemason to inspect the grave, and in fact, it was the stonemason who told me that that headstone belonged to this grave. I didn't realise the two were together. I thought that the headstone was just a simple headstone in a bare plot by the side, but no, he said, no, it's the same grave. So I said, well, could you get it, you know, what can you do? Oh, he said, we can get it back to its initial first condition. I said, well, when it's like that? He said, oh, yeah, no problem. So he's dead right. That's the grave restored. And in fact, that picture was taken at the rededication ceremony in June last year. And left to right, John Anthony. And next to him is the Reverend Graham Murphy, who is the rector of the church, which John Hilly got married at. Ray Fisick is holding the flag, and there's myself there. And in fact, the Olympic flag was borrowed from the IOC, and they've now got it back. And in fact, this is what the grave looks like today. As I said to Keith, a rose between thorns, a rose among thorns. And I hope that you will be able to help with some of these objectives. Those are the same objectives I'm looking for. And in fact, this is the only commercial part of my talk, and it's free. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Ray.